Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, big down? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. Good Friday. Either one of y'all drive a Super Duty now?
You know I don't.
I saw what you're talking about, taking up two lanes, but no, that's not mine.
Ridiculous.
It was. I parked right
Ridiculous.
Next to
it. If you drive a Super Duty and you work in this building, you should be ashamed of yourself. When you look at yourself in the mirror, I hope you see disgust.
Blatant?
And anguish. It had to be blatant. Like a third of his Super Duty, so like the soup is in one lane and the Ur-Duty is on the other side.
He's also parked over in the front a little bit, taking up kind of four lanes, really.
Oh, is he parked over? He went across too.
A little
on the side you guys normally park on.
Correct.
Yeah, that's ridiculous to not. It's one thing that's bad enough if you take up two, like in your side of the double parking. But if you go over the front line too, that's terrible.
I know it's like a holiday and all that, and only you know us real gamers work today because we're gamers, we're grinders, we show up. Even then,
I'm a dog.
You don't take up two spots. Mm-mm. Two spots, back it into the corner, back it in next to a spot that doesn't, you know, like, there's always that extra, like, excess space. Like, you're not supposed to cross in. Like,
right.
You know, it's a side, whatever. Like, you take up that space. Don't take up another spot. That's ridiculous.
No, and you know what's funny now is it's gotten to the point where at our HEB in our neighborhood, people in my neighborhood will take a picture at the HEB when this is done and then post it hoping that the people that did it live in our neighborhood. I was like, I don't think they're going to say, yep, that was me. And then under the comments, everybody's like, you can go on Yahoo and get this pad of, hey, a-hole, you parked this badly so you can get post-it notes and stick them on their window. I was like, yeah, there's cameras and you can get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I'm not going to go full Karen on Facebook, but I'll do it on the air. I'll do it on the radio. I'm not going to type anything. I'm not going to write a letter and leave it on your car. I'm not going to go to social media. I'm just going to complain about it on the radio. That's what I'm going to do. So if you have a Super Duty and you park on our floor, you disgust me. Busy show today. Doug Glanville is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. The voice of the Astros, Todd Callis, joining us a little bit later. Kelly Eco to get ready for Sunday's game one between the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. I went back and who was the guy on Twitch yesterday who said we should have watched the April 6th game? I think it was Scotch that told us to do that. So I thought that was great advice. I always put a lot of credence into what the Twitchers have to say. I think it's a fine community. I think they're wise.
A fat guy in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
I think they're wise. I think they have a lot of wisdom. I think we have a lot to learn from them. So I actually took the advice of Scotch, and I went back and I watched this game from April 6th. And I don't think I learned a lot, but some things that I had forgotten probably that – let's see if they carry over into the series and then how they combat it, whether it's Golden State combating what Houston's trying to do or it's Houston combating what Golden State is trying to do. One of the first things that was glaring to me was they were attacking Steph Curry on the offensive end, which, I mean, that's no secret. Every team does that in the NBA. Let's get Steph Curry into a favorable matchup, and let's go at Steph Curry because he's not a very good on-ball defender. Now, the guy that was, I guess, elevated the most because of this was actually Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks went off in the first quarter. Dylan Brooks went off in the first half. Had a good game overall, but they were getting Steph Curry into some matchups with Dylan Brooks, and Dylan Brooks was either shooting threes, he was posting up on Steph Curry. So, like, that I think is going to be one of their focal points again, is yes, Steph Curry's tough to defend, but let's try to get a favorable matchup and go right at Steph Curry on the offensive end.
Yeah, I think that everybody in recent years has identified, whether it's playoffs or regular season, depending on how, you know, how badly you want to attack the Warriors, that's the first place you go. And I'm glad that Dylan Brooks was putting him on his hip, because a lot of guys feel like when they have that matchup, their advantage is to kind of body them a little bit, but then settle for a face-up or a fadeaway. But the best thing to do with a little guy that's not very strong when it comes to holding his own when you start, you know, pushing him, just back him, back his ass down. Go back him right into the lane and get as close as you can. And when you see help coming, that's probably when you can pull up. But you can take advantage of that. And they have to in this series. I think defensively it doesn't matter, because you're gonna, they're going to try and run him off of picks to get a matchup. But you can switch.
The Rockets were really good defending Steph Curry in that game, obviously. Steph Curry had maybe the worst game he's had all year. Scored 3 points, 1 of 10 shooting, 1 of 8 from three. And the way he scored those 3 points was actually at the end of the second quarter, a buzzer beater from like 30 feet, 35 feet. So, like, even his one made shot, was, I don't want to call that a Hail Mary because it's Steph Curry. Like, Steph Curry's obviously capable of making those. I wouldn't even call it like a desperation heave, but it was a late in the clock situation that he made from way downtown. So the Rockets did make his life uncomfortable in, you know, on the offensive side as well. And it wasn't all Amen Thompson. Like, I know Amen Thompson gets a lot of the credit for how he defended Steph Curry, and he was the on Steph Curry more often than not, like more than anybody else for sure. But they threw the kitchen sink at him. Multiple guys defending him when it wasn't Amen. Hard hedges off of pick and rolls. Blitzing Steph Curry off of those pick and rolls to get the ball out of his hand. So I do think they have a good game plan to slow down Steph Curry. Now, whenever you do that, you do give away other things. And the fear that you would have if you continue to have that philosophy against Steph Curry, and I imagine that they will because it worked in the last regular season game, and he is their best offensive player, is that now Jimmy Butler probably has an advantage.
That's the first thing I was thinking is, yeah, you're going to take Steph away, but we talked about it yesterday. Jimmy's one thing during the regular season. He's another thing come postseason, and he's hyper-focused. He's extremely intelligent with the basketball. He's going to know where to go to get, you know, as open as possible if they're doubling Steph or doing all that with Steph. And he can fully take advantage in a variety of different ways, from putting it onto the floor to backing a guy down to making a face-up. The one thing he's not great at is three-point shooting, and he doesn't take a lot of them. But that's my biggest concern, is that Jimmy Butler has the capability of taking a lot of the guys on this team and scoring on them.
And you would be coming from a numbers advantage, too, if you're blitzing Steph Curry nonstop. Now, for me, that's a trade-off I'm willing to make. I'm willing to give Jimmy Butler a slight advantage if it means that I'm mostly taking Steph Curry out of the game as much as I possibly can.
I think you have to. I think that he's still the greatest shooter to ever play the game and still fully capable of being the greatest shooter in the game. And I think that when you look at the Warriors, that's the first and utmost 1A thing that you have to defend, is anything that Steph Curry does. And whether it's holding him to 3 points or not, you have to make his life miserable, and you have to absolutely put the crosshairs on him. Even when he's not touching the ball, you have to be aware of him at all times. If screens are coming, you have to be aware and already identify between you and the other defender, what are you going to do? Are you going to show? Are you going to hedge? Are you going to, like you said, blitz him on both sides? But there has to be a lot of communication, because he moves so frequently and fast without the ball, and in a blink of an eye, he can kill you.
That's a trade-off I'm willing to make.
I think you're right. I think you should, yeah.
I'm willing to say, hey, Jimmy Butler and the rest of the Golden State Warriors, you go beat me. We're going to try our very best to limit Steph Curry as much as we possibly can. Like, you can't defend everything. You can't defend everything. You have to make choices on what you're willing to give up and choices on what you're trying to slow down. And this Golden State offense is good. They've been really good with Jimmy Butler, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Their numbers have been through the roof with Jimmy Butler. I think they have, like, the third best record in the NBA since they traded for Jimmy Butler. So they are a good team. They're better than, like, your prototypical 7 seed in the Western Conference. The double big was something that came up yesterday. The double big didn't really work a lot in this game. Like, they was fine, but they also did it when Steph Curry was off the floor, because they did go zone. So when they went double big, they would go zone, and they only did it when Steph Curry was off the floor. When Steph Curry was on the floor, they were almost never in the double big. So I do think it's going to be limited in this series. And look, Adams was okay in that game. Like, he was +7 in a game that they won by 10, so make of that of what you will. He's never about scoring. He scored 2 points, never really a scorer, but had 8 rebounds in that game. But the guys who were massive were Alpi Shengu, 19 points, 14 rebounds, and Jabari Smith, 16 points, 9 rebounds. So the whole double big thing, I'm not sure this is the series for it, and I think we'll see it in doses, especially when Steph Curry's off the floor.
That's why I said when we talked about it yesterday, I think you're going to see it, like, to attack the second unit. You might see it at the end of a second quarter, maybe a fourth quarter situation when you know that they're playing so small and or you want to give yourself the best chance to get a second chance opportunity. But I think also because in an up and down situation, which Golden State's going to want to do if you do it, I think Steven Adams can get gassed. I don't think Alpe really wants to run that much all the time either, but I agree with you. I think that as much as everybody looked at it, identified it, and said, well, there's a way you beat the Warriors, I think that's a way where you can take advantage of the Warriors in small doses, but I don't think that's how you beat the Warriors.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't think you can do it whenever Steph's on the floor. Looney was too slow for Şengün. Like, there were a lot of times when Looney was guarding Şengün, and they would put Şengün up at the top of the key and space the floor, and he would just blow right by Looney. Whether it's a spin move, whether it's getting to the right-hand hook, Alpe was too much for Looney. Whenever that matchup is on the floor, Alpe Şengün has to abuse it, has to destroy him.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, because I don't have any problem and no worries or concerns when Alpe's got Looney on him. What about Draymond Green?
I mean, Draymond was kind of annoying him, but, I mean, he still had no problem.
Like,
I shouldn't say no problem. Alpe still had the advantage there. Alpe needs to have a big series.
Take the cheap shots and the bumps and the little jabs out of it. Mm-hmm. If Alpe can have his way with Draymond from the footwork and offensive perspective, and maybe the one thing I was thinking about last night was he might be able to get Draymond in some foul trouble. Because
sure.
No matter what you say about who Draymond guards defensively, he's really good. And that if you get him in foul trouble, that's a huge advantage.
If Alpe is good in the series, I don't see how the Rockets lose. I don't see how they lose. If Alpe is not even great, if Alpe is good in this series, I think that they're way too much for Golden State. We'll talk about this series in great detail a little bit later. Kelly Eco will join us. Magic Johnson gave his sophisticated thoughts on this series, too. We have to get to that. A lot of Astro talks along the way as well. Todd Callis in a little while. But Doug Glanville, baseball voice on ESPN, he'll be joining us when we return. 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sack by BMAC. He's rubbing his eye. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for the people that need to do your property tax challenge right now. Now, because the deadline's May 15th, Century Property Tax Consultants are the best in the business, and they've got a deal for you because the way they do business, whether you have an issue and you want to challenge your property tax for the residential, commercial, industrial, or business property, they're going to fight to reduce your taxes. But the deal that they always offer, which is fantastic, is if they don't save you money and fight the charge and fight the tax appropriately and win, you don't pay a single cent. That's a deal that you can't pass up because really it's a no-lose situation for you. If you do it and you lose, nothing lost. If you do it and you win, you pay them some to save a whole lot more. That's why I encourage you to get to CPROtax.com. 60 combined years of experience. Century Property Tax Consultants are here to help you win big, and they're going to take care of it every step of the way. All you do is get them all the information they need, then you sit back and wait until they tell you whether you won or lost and how much you saved. That's fantastic. Check them out today, CPROtax.com, because they are the best in the business, Century Property Tax Consultants. They don't want you to pay more taxes than you need to, and you're only going to pay if they win. What have you got to lose? The answer, nothing. What have you got to gain? A whole lot. Check them out today, CPROtax.com.
ESPN 97.5. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Doug Glanville. Doug will be on the call this weekend on ESPN Radio for Sunday Night Baseball as the Padres visit the Astros over at the Dyke, with coverage starting at 6 p.m. Doug, thank you for taking a few minutes hanging out with the Killer Bees. There's some in Houston that are a bit uneasy with this start. I know it's only 18 games, 8-10, nowhere near 12-24 like it was a year ago. But new pieces, Kyle Tucker gone, Alex Bregman gone. What is your assessment of the Astros 18 games into the year?
Well, right now, it's one of those situations where the bats haven't shown up, and other than maybe Jose Altuve. So you're having offensive struggles. And where that's actually a positive is the pitching has been pretty strong. And when you have that and you're still hovering around 500, you're not playing your best baseball and you're still right in the thick of it. That division is pretty kind of level. And, they're 3.5 back. It's not really insurmountable, especially with the wild cards. So it's something you look ahead and you say, these guys are going to hit much better. Christian Walker, or Jordan Alvarez, this is not where they're going to end up. So that is the upside, and especially in your division, there's a lot of ground they can catch internally.
Doug, you mentioned the pitching, and obviously at the top of the rotation, people looked for Framber Valdez first and foremost. We were talking about this the other day. Hunter Brown seems like a guy that kind of continually, no matter how much success he has, kind of slides under the radar. Interested in your thoughts on a guy that has been really good again to start this season.
Well, when I circle Hunter Brown, I think about Dusty Baker. Because when Dusty Baker was there, he kind of watched the development of Hunter Brown. And I remember the big story about him was that he had this amazing curveball that he kind of abandoned and then had to kind of, bring back. And Dusty, wait a minute, this is a pitch that really plays. So sometimes it's like as a young pitcher, you're trying to find your way and you could sort of overthink it a little bit, like, I have to have all this stuff, right? And when you just have to execute pitches. And he's starting to do that now. He's executing pitches. He's starting to figure out how to, mix and match. You don't have to be, max effort all the time in terms of command, use your defense, all these elements that kind of come with a younger pitcher. But, he's taken just a big step. I mean, he's a bona fide ace right now, and that says a lot because he's figured it out pretty quickly.
Doug Glanville joining us on the HR&P guest line. Doug, you mentioned that the bats haven't hit, and you don't expect Christian Walker to be hitting .154 the entire year. Yiner, right, who last year, one of the better offensive catchers in baseball, you don't expect him to hit .130. But what do you think the holes are on this Astro team?
Well, I think when you talk about on the offensive side, I mean, you always have concerns when, whether you have the injuries or you make moves and you get Abreu last year. And you say, okay, this guy's going to be this guy, but then he wasn't that guy, right? Yeah. That's a concern, right? Because you don't have the body of work of Christian Walker as an Astro. And any player making adjustments, getting traded or signing as a free agent, those are big question marks. And you mentioned Valdez, you mentioned some of the pitching that, although, having that good start, you're kind of looking for that sort of the depth that you need. After Brown, which, it's a long season, so he's, going to have his bumps at times. Where does it go from there when you don't have your kind of historic ace doing ace-like stuff? Because then you want to get out of this division, and then you're talking about teams that are going to pitch, right, or get out of the American League. So in the big picture, because the Astros are a team that has just been to the dance, right, won, done it all, you're not sitting there settling on we're going to be okay in our division. They're trying to continue to go to the next level. And that's where, some of the shortfalls start to get exposed early. And I know the hitting will come back. It's just a matter of, it all being in sync.
I'm curious, Doug, your thoughts on Cam Smith. Obviously, it's a young kid. He didn't spend much time in the minor leagues. A lot is thought of him. But you've been there and done that when you came up. And what's a fair assessment of games when he comes up for the very first time and he's thrust into a situation like this?
Well, the kid needs time, and the tough thing about the big leagues, you don't seem to feel like have it, right? Especially at a team that's expected to compete, so there's not a lot of bandwidth. You see guys all the time. I guess nowadays, and I'll give you an example. We talked to Craig Counsell of the Cubs in one of the games we did over the weekend against the Dodgers, and the thing I asked him about the minor leagues. And he talked about how there's more development today at the big league level, right? In the sense of okay, you might have some tough 3 months, but eventually you're going to figure it out. And so that was the number he kind of threw out there in the sense of all right, we're trying to give some people time to figure it out. So whether it's a Matt Shaw or someone like that who got sent down, by the way, you realize that they're trying to give people a little time to actually develop under the radar while you're in the big leagues, which is a really difficult thing to do because, Smith is sitting there going, well, wait a minute, I'm not hitting like I expect because this is not who I am because you're trying to determine your ability to adapt at the major league level. That's really difficult. And I can't say I had to do that because I got called up. I was a first round pick, but I kind of wove in as a platoon player against lefties, a little under the radar, get used to the big leagues. And then I got to play and I was kind of comfortable at that point. So it's going a million miles an hour for Cam Smith. Talent is there. But if you want to talk, if I would throw a number, I kind of lean on that half a season. And if he, you know, and that's a lot sometimes if you're expected to produce right away.
Yeah, tough for him to be under the radar too, like him specifically, because the top 15 yeah. pick, he was at Florida State this time a year ago, was the top right. prospect in the Kyle Tucker trade, and then like gets rushed yeah. to the bigs. Rush might be too strong of a word, but the question I want to ask you, Doug, is do you think 5 games, 20 plate appearances above high A ball is enough for a kid?
Yeah. I mean, rush is a fair word. And I think even evaluators will even use that term. It's more about getting there, and then they believe that there's still a learning curve that will happen to then be productive at the big league level. And then if your team is kind of where they need to be by the halfway point, you're like, okay, oh, this guy's getting hot now going into July. Can you weather it as a young player to be like, wow, I'm hitting 173 at the break? I mean, that's the pain, because that's like unheard of in your life for the most part. But yeah, I mean, if I take a snapshot from where I'm coming from, I'm like, wow, I'm blown away that how quickly these guys are expected to be as good as they are at the major league level. And I'm looking and they say they're drafted in 2023. I mean, that is like yesterday. So, it's a different culture and a different patience in terms of the model. And, you have to have a certain mentality just to be able to kind of get your head handed to you for a while. That's difficult. And so a guy like Shaw goes down and has to figure out and work on some things to come back. But it's not a lot of time, no.
Doug, I'm curious your thoughts from the national perspective and kind of like the bigger picture of what the Astros had to go through in the offseason. Obviously, the fans always want to keep all of their favorite players that were a part of this golden era of Astros baseball. But you trade Tucker because I think they pretty much had come to the conclusion they weren't going to they weren't going to re-sign him. And then yeah. Bregman walks, and they say they're in the middle of the negotiations, but what he gets is, I think, far and above what they were going to ever consider paying him. Now people yep. are critical, going, look at how those two guys are performing. Look what you could have had. Do you see that they made the right decisions on those two guys?
Well, it is. There's just still limited resources, even if you're, the Astros, and you have, owners that have deep pockets on certain levels. I mean, you have to weigh whether they're going to come back, and it's also the terms by which they come back on. You don't necessarily get those Otani deals, right, where, okay, yeah, you're paying $700 million, but you're also getting a kind of deferral, and those deferrals allow them a little room to do other things. So that's like, that's a standard that's really hard to meet, because just whatever Otani decided wanted to do personally. You're going to understand these players like Bregman, they're going to get as much as they can. They're going to get for a longer period of time. If they go to a place that kind of overpaid relative to the market because they wanted them, that there's not a lot you can do in that situation unless you're willing to overpay. And then what do you have left around these guys, right? I mean, what's the point of having Tucker just sitting there by himself? Those are the challenges. And, sometimes you go to a new place. Like I went to Philly, and it was nice to just have, okay, a fresh start. They believe in me as a center fielder, and then all of a sudden you take off. And so that is a natural excitement to it, but it's a long game. And will the Cubs contend at the level that Tucker expects? Will the Red Sox hang in there? These are questions. And what does that deal look like at the end? All those questions that the Astros weighed. So I wouldn't say they made a mistake or anything. I just think it's hard to lose anchor players that have been around a long time with the organization and had success. But there's a new era, and I still just think this team is not taking like 10 steps backward. They're going to be a contender.
Doug Glanville, over 1,000 big league games, will be on the call of Astros, Padres coming up. And you might have alluded to it there, Doug, because the million-dollar question in this city, and one that sparks debate, is the window closed in Houston? Do you think it's open? Do you think it's closed?
I think it's open. I do, because I still like the arms I'm seeing. I like the, and when you pitch, you're just in it. You're just going to be in it. I mean, hitting is tough now, and I think that, and these guys are not going to hit 170. They're just not. And the big question I ask a lot of these teams is the willingness to make certain moves at the trade deadline. And it's more critical now without waivers and, after the deadline, all these things. You have to kind of decide if you're in it or not. And do you give up the farm to just get a wild card slot? Like that's the other question. Maybe if you're the Mariners, maybe for a team that just hasn't been there much, you kind of say, fine, I just got to get in. But the Astros, they're not that team. They're not playing to kind of be like, yeah, let's just kind of back in and give up 10 prospects to get like one more arm. So I'm watching what they do when it counts about what they need at the right time to make the push. Because I think by then, if Cam Smith sort of is who he can be, or if, you know, Christian Walker or Diaz, these guys, they're going to be, you know, I'm looking at them and saying they're going to have a heck of a second half, right?
Yeah.
So if they do, you know, you never can get enough arms, but yeah, you might get a piece here and there, an outfielder, a big bat kind of thing. Alvarez might have to take some time, you know, at some point with being banged up. But I don't think there are a lot of pieces away, really.
Doug, really appreciate the time. Great stuff. We'll be listening on this weekend, Sunday night, whenever you call the Padres and Astros.
Yep, I'll be there for Sunday. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Doug Glanville, very good at his job. I used to love watching him play, too. He could rangy,
really
center
good
fielder.
Center fielder, yeah.
He led the league in at-bats one year. What does that tell you? He hit leadoff a lot.
He did.
He hit leadoff a lot. Doug Glanville on the call this weekend, ESPN Radio. We're carrying that Padres-Astros coverage starting at 6 p.m. If you want to comment on anything he had to say, 713-780-3776. Whenever he said the Astros aren't one to give up like a lot of prospects for arms, I immediately thought of Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford for Justin Verlander. A lot of people don't love that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's get to the wisdom of Magic Johnson. Also, the deep-rooted hatred that exists between Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green has me fired up. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brian's working for Brian again. Brian's pretty much had the whole week off. Brian, where'd you go to school? No. Don't pass off the microphone again like you did yesterday. Running for the hills.
UHD?
There we go, UHD. What kind of hat are you wearing right there? What kind of hat is that?
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Is that Arkansas?
Went to UHD wearing an Arkansas hat. You're at the wrong station, Ryan.
Well, you see, someone had to wear it because, you know, someone has to think of the diversity here.
Go with that.
I was wondering where you were going to go.
Some would say we're not the very most diverse station in the city. In fact, it's been a criticism of ESPN 97.5.
In the past.
I think there's plenty of
things
diversity.
Have changed.
So
since
this is how ESPN 97.5 gets its diversity. We have an intern wearing an Arkansas hat. Never say that we're not diverse again. I'm just messing with you, Ryan. Appreciate all the work you're doing for us. Very little shoes to fill, too, behind the glass. So Magic Johnson, let's get some Mozart playing here for the wisdom of Magic Johnson. I feel like you have to play a little classical music whenever you're reading the analysis of one Magic Johnson, one of the greatest that has ever played the game. Defying odds, by the way. Defying odds.
Indeed.
At this age. How did he do that?
No, well, I mean,
last 30 more years.
He went to another country where they don't have an FDA and found.
Really? Good for him.
Like a stem cell thing?
Does that fix what he had?
I don't know. I'm asking. Cell?
Just from what I've heard, there were possible solutions outside of the realm of the United States that may have worked.
Who told you this, Chuck?
Not going to tell you.
Did you hear what they're calling STDs now, by the way? They're calling them STIs. Apparently, it's like up big time in Houston. Like the STI infection rate right now in Houston is unbelievably high. It's spiking big time. I've read that on the internet.
Bad times to be single, Paul.
I guess infection. Whenever I saw that headline the other day, I had never seen that acronym in my life. I had never seen STIs.
Those aren't two different things?
Disease was too harsh?
Well, no, I think they are two different things. I think disease is the one where there's a disease, and the infection is one where there's an infection. I think they're very different.
Okay.
But they're both high in Houston right now. So be careful out there on the streets.
Hmm.
Yeah. Paul needs to be looking out for himself.
Yeah, Dale, watch out when you're cruising around the retirement
mates.
Home.
Yeah, mates. Ryan's probably single.
He's single.
He's wearing an Arkansas hat. Of course he's single. So, yeah. So you guys be careful out there. It's just me informed. But here's Irvin Magic Johnson, the sophistication, the brilliance of one of the greatest players that has ever played the game and a survivor, gave his analysis on Twitter about the Rockets and the Warriors. For the Golden State Warriors versus Houston Rockets, there will be plenty of fireworks with the Houston Rockets! Nobody from the Warriors can stop Houston center Alperen Şengün. The Rockets are more athletic than Golden State, led by Jalen Green, Amin Thompson, and Alperen Şengün. And Fred VanVleet is an NBA champion with plenty of playoff experience. Golden State, with future Hall of Famer and the best shooter in the NBA, Steph Curry, are going to need playoff Jimmy Butler to also dominate. But who will step up for the Warriors in this matchup? I saw Brandon Pezeminski score 28 points against my Lakers. If Jonathan Kuminga's answer as the X Factor, I'm thinking Warriors in seven.
Is Kuminga going to play?
Kuminga's been DNPs for a while.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, that's one thing. I mean, you go off and you basically sing the Rockets praises and give them all kinds of praise and go, I got Warriors in seven.
I wonder if
let
you
us
guys
down lightly.
I wonder if you guys had the same reaction to reading that I did. It sounds like Magic's tweets are written by AI. Like,
no, the grammar's too bad.
Okay, good, fair point. But the way it's written is written like somebody is describing basketball for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's written like, you know, All-Star center Alperen Şengün, Warriors have no one to stop him.
That's kind of how he talks, though. Like, he lays it on a little thick.
He lays it on thick. Yeah, he's definitely a schmoozer.
Yeah. I think that's like how he talks. But like the exclamation marks and like the way that some of it's written, like saying Fred VanVleet twice or Alperen Şengün twice instead of just saying Şengün.
Playoff Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Instead of playoff P or playoff
best
Jimmy.
Best shooter in the NBA. He gives you a little description of the player before he talks about the player. Just landed on a little thick. Irvin Magic.
Known to do that, yes. Look, I mean, greatest shooter, he could have said, and I noticed that he didn't say, but I think it's true, Steph's the greatest shooter in NBA history, not just in the NBA right now.
Well, he doesn't want to go that hard of a stance. He's doing that on purpose.
Yeah, he's just tiptoeing the middle of the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, because he doesn't want to, you know, go one way or the other. Here's another one from Irvin Magic. This has nothing to do with Houston. I enjoyed watching the NCAA Gymnastics Championships. We were leading after two rounds, and I love how competitive my Michigan State Lady Spartans were all the way to the end. We didn't qualify, but they gave it all they had. I want to thank head coach Mike Ryle and every single gymnast that competed today. Amy Doyle, Michaela Tucker, Gabrielle Steven, Olivia Sarmani, Delaney Harkness, and Sage Kellerman.
It's AI, man.
That's not AI.
He's AI.
Which I thought Michigan State had to get rid of their gymnastics program Larry Nazar.
Yeah.
Nazar, however you say it.
Larry Nazar.
How are they allowed to keep their program?
Yeah, seriously.
Maybe they went away and came back?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. He said they didn't qualify, but then he said he was proud of how they performed in the actual NCAAs?
Well, I don't think they like advanced or whatever. Uh-oh. Or maybe podiumed or I don't know. I don't keep up with NCAA gymnastics. You're asking the wrong guy here.
I know SportsCenter today said they had their top three plays, and one of them was the top three plays from the men's NCAA gymnastics tournament, and then they showed all the women's highlights. Oops. Don't watch it much, huh?
This text is brutal. SDIs are up because of people like Magic's son, daughter. It's messed up, man.
Oh.
We're not going to read that kind of stuff on the air. 713-780-3776.
Did he not, as well as James Worthy back in the day, have a couple of issues here in Houston?
I don't know, man.
Worthy did for sure. He got caught with two prostitutes in a hotel here.
I mean, I think it's safe to say Magic had issues.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, right? Was he ever like
Magic
arrested
slept with more
here?
Than one woman? Yeah.
No, was he? Thank you, Brian. Was he ever arrested here?
No idea.
Magic?
Yeah, I know Worthy was for sure.
I don't think Magic was ever arrested. Period.
For any kind of okay.
I don't think Magic's ever been arrested.
No, he's too busy having AI write his tweets.
Well, AI hadn't went around then. STI you can get rid of, STD you can't.
Oh, that's the difference? I figured it had to be some sort of delineation.
The more
there,
you know, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Experience matters.
That was the first time I've seen that acronym, but you did notice how whenever they talked about more than one, they added an S at the end. You did notice that. It wasn't multiple STIs.
RBIs.
You did notice that, right? Yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Canvas producing compared to the rest of the lineup, what are y'all talking about? He's talking about Cam Smith. I mean, Cam Smith's hitting 200 with a 591 OPS.
Yeah, and I brought it up because Doug Glanville's been there, done that before as a former first-round pick coming up to the big leagues, just asking him about his experiences.
The Astros, Altuve, Paredes, Jordan, Walker, Pena, Yiner, Rogers, Myers, Smith today for their first of three against San Diego. Looking at batting average, Cam Smith has a better batting average than two Astros in the lineup today. Christian Walker, 154, Yiner, 130. Smith is right at the Mendoza line. OPS 591 for Cam Smith. He's higher than two. Walker 482 and Yiner 397. So he's outproducing Walker and Yiner, which is a problem because they're your four and Yiner got demoted to the sixth spot, but they're two guys in the middle of your order, so it is a problem. But Smith is also being outperformed by the likes of Jake Myers and Brendan Rodgers. So which side do you want to argue from?
Is that good on Rodgers and Jake, or is that really bad on two guys that you're leaning heavily on offensively? Because I would say it's pretty bad.
I think it's the latter more than it is the former. Dylan,
I mean, the expectation of bringing up Cam Smith was not so he could just outproduce people hitting in the 150s.
Yeah, below the Mendoza line.
Yeah, that wasn't the expectation of bringing him up. He's not. They didn't think he was ready because he could hit 200.
And look, we're not going to bash on Cam Smith until he has 100 plate appearances. We're not going to say he's been abysmal and all this stuff. We're not going to do that until he has 100 plate appearances. Dylan the Canadian about to take that loss like Drake. Grimace emoji.
Jeez.
I started to watch that gold documentary yesterday.
On the Olympic
chase team? For the gold. Yeah, have you watched that?
I have not.
I fell asleep about halfway through the first one. It's not bad, though. It's not awful. It's not the. I'll finish it. It might take me a while, but I'll finish it. Speaking of Dylan Brooks, Dylan and Draymond, they got some deep-rooted hatred that I took the deep dive today. It is interesting stuff, the hatred these two have for each other, and it makes me fired up for the NBA playoffs that started on Sunday for the Rockets. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll hit that on the other side. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you have an annoyance in your life like Draymond Green or like Dylan Brooks and you want to escape that annoyance, well, how about Two Creeks Crossing Resort? It's the best weekend idea. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the rat race. Get out of the hustle and bustle. Get out of the traffic. Whatever is causing you that stress and anxiety, get away and enjoy the great landscape at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. Open green spaces. Beautiful wildlife that you just don't see in the city. And mature, majestic trees that are just so beautiful. Also, if you like to fish, drop your line in the water. They have some of the best fishing in Texas on their creeks. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. Don't have to waste your time driving all day or going to the airport. No, it's just 90 minutes. Hour and a half, and you can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They always take care of their customers. They love their visitors. You can hike on their 92-acre property. You can kayak their water. How about the pickleball? Some pickleball? That's always fun. They have pickleball courts for you. Or you can just hang out by the pool, have a drink or two. That's no problem there either. From camping to cabins to tree houses or pull up the RV, they have the perfect stay for anyone. And right now, you can save 20% on your next two-night stay. That's right. Sunday through Thursday, two-night stay minimum, five-night stay max. You can save 20% on rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, tents, whatever. Book your weekend escape now at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. We'll get to Dylan Brooks. Dylan the villain. Draymond Green. Beef. Real. In a moment. But Israel, he wants to talk Cam Smith. And we were talking Cam Smith, and we do what the people tell us to do, especially on a Friday. So Israel wants to talk Cam Smith. We'll let Israel talk Cam Smith. Israel, you're in the Hive. What's up, Israel?
What's up, yo? Hey, y'all talking about Cam. Cam, first of all, he was a throw-in. Don't act like they traded for Cam. It wasn't
a throw-in? He's a top 20 prospect.
Okay, y'all ain't going to let me say nothing. Okay, then.
He's
in the majors. Don't y'all, I know y'all gave the batting averages that he's, you know what I mean. But what about his on-base percentage? It's not the last. He's not. The ones who supposed to be producer is not. First thing was like he's not gonna be able to play right field. He's showing that arm and he's playing right field. He's built for right field and never played it. He is the key to that deal. Even though he wasn't the primary reason for the deal. It was the pitcher and the other guy. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't know what you're saying.
They moved him up, since they moved him up. A lot of people, how could they let him come up here and just go straight to the majors? You know why? Because he got talent, and they know it. And not only do we know it, the other guys, they ain't got no dingers. They ain't hit one out the park, and they never will. Myers and the other little guy, They can't compare to him. And they know it. And shout out to the GM, man. And Dana is the guy, man. And a lot of people hate it. But, you know what I mean? It is what it is. Cam is doing his thing. Well, look, they did the right thing. They got him in the position where he at. He's producing. Who are they going to put in the right field over him? Who better than him? They got nobody.
Rack him.
Thanks, Israel. He gets excited.
Who's Kikuchi?
That bum?
He's the centerpiece of the deal.
I mean, that bum.
He was one of the highest rated prospects in the Cubs system, Israel. Come on, man.
Israel, I love the passion, and I agree with a lot of your points that he's probably their best right fielder right now, despite atrocious numbers. But we're not talking about atrocious numbers until 100 plate appearances, so that's irrelevant. Not a throw-in in the trade, though. Like, if any of those three guys were a throw-in, it probably was Neske, because he was in the rotation, out of the rotation, always a fringe starter for them. He had a negative war last year. He's in his, like, mid to late 20s. Like, Neske was the throw-in of that trade. Now, the Astros pitching lab, trying to get the most out of Neske, have looked pretty good so far. Now, who was the headliner between Isak and Cam Smith? I would argue that it was Cam Smith, because Cam Smith, like you said, Israel, is the most talented player in that trade. And I do think that Dana Brown was looking at the future more in that trade than anything else. Now, getting pieces that could help now also attracted him, but I think that he views Cam Smith as the best talent in that trade. So I disagree with the throw-in thing. And then the on-base percentage for Cam Smith is also not good. It's 280. Like, 280 is not a good on-base percentage. But we're not looking at numbers until 100 plate appearances for Cam.
Yeah, no. I think when you look at the deal itself, Dana just kind of got in, as when he was putting the deal together and trying to get the possible guys that he'd like to get back, he got himself a backup plan for Alex Bregman in the process. He got himself a guy that they were interested when he was being shopped as a member of the Rays before he was eventually sent to the Cubs last season. And he got a guy that inevitably did exactly what he needed him to be, which was the replacement for Alex Bregman if Alex moved on.
Texter saying that Israel's the worst caller y'all let on regularly. We're not going to do this whole Texter bash caller thing. 713-780-3776. Israel has the courage and cojones that all you Texters do not. He'll call in and he'll chat and he'll talk and he'll tell us that our opinions are terrible and all that stuff.
He's no honey
bum.
That bum.
He's no Honey Glazed Branham.
Honey Glazed Branham was atrocious. Woo. That was awful.
And then he said he was going to come back and give it a shot the next day.
In fact, he was so bad, I want to strip him of his last name. He's no longer Honey Glazed Branham. He is now and forever will be just Honey Glazed. No more Branham. That's an embarrassment to the family name.
Call him Honey Glazed Asman.
Israel's a great caller, too. Israel's hilarious. And plus, he used to only be a texter. We told him to start calling in, and he did. And this texter said he only wants to hear himself talk. I think he just likes to tell us that we're idiots from time to time. Texter Philip was excited to work on Good Friday versus having the day off. Why is Philip catching strays? Philip's not even here today. Philip hasn't called, and he's catching strays from the text line. What is that about?
I think Philip has replaced the most bashed on texture what was it, MLA Paul? MLA Paul was taking all the bullets for a little while, but I think Philip might have taken that mantle.
Israel's starting to get it, too. Gary gets it as well. This texture says Israel greater than Gary. Why is Gary catching strays today? Gary hasn't called in today. Why is he getting heat? I like Gary's call yesterday. He brought up a lot of very good points.
We had callers almost every day this week get attacked.
I know.
I mean,
what is
Keith
that?
Obviously got attacked. Was it Wednesday for his... Logan Webb take.
The future Cy Young Award winner and perennial every year Cy Young Award winning candidate is pitching tonight.
I thought it was last night.
I think he's pitching tonight.
Logan Webb?
Yeah.
I thought he pitched last night. Keith was up in my mention saying he pitches tonight.
I thought he was pitching last. I think he's pitching tonight. I thought that's what I saw.
Well, if Keith got that wrong, that is awful.
Maybe Logan Webb is pitching back-to-back nights
Drake
to bolster his 300 win candidacy.
Who was the last pitcher to do that?
Back-to-back nights, I have no idea.
He is pitching tonight. Keith got that wrong. He doesn't even know his future 300-game winners. What an idiot. No, I don't know who pitched back-to-back starts. Do you know who the last pitcher was that pitched three consecutive games, started three consecutive games?
Babe Ruth.
Cy Young.
No. Former Astro, actually. Started three consecutive games. Wasn't as an Astro. He would later become an Astro. But this guy is the last player to start three consecutive games.
Joe Niekro?
Nope. You are thinking the wrong era. This guy pitched in the golden era of Houston Astro baseball.
I'm clueless.
It's got to be a relief pitcher then that was an opener.
Incorrect. Huh. It was Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke is the last pitcher in Major League Baseball history. It might be the last one to ever do it. That started three consecutive games.
Was that in the playoffs?
Nope. Nope. So for I think they were playing the Astros. The first start was against the Astros, I believe. He was first inning. He like was late covering the bag and spiked the ball in the dirt, and the umpire threw him out. And he wasn't even arguing the call. He was just mad at himself. Spiked the ball in the dirt, so he threw like five pitches. So they decided to start on the next game. So he pitched the next game normal. Then it was the All-Star break, and then he started the next game out of the All-Star break. So he started three consecutive games for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Interesting.
Zach Greinke. Maybe the last time that'll ever be done in Major League Baseball history. And who else would have done it other than Zach Greinke? Like, that's the most Zach Greinke thing ever.
It would have been, like, in the Babe Ruth era way, way, way back when guys were just pussballing and throwing.
They were doing what?
Pussballing. Just no fastballs.
Throwing soft is what it means. It
Why do they call it that?
Because your arm was weak. Because you just threw it like a lob. You've never heard that term before?
I have. It's just funny.
Okay.
Or an opener. Like, you know, I can see an opener doing it. Like, you don't see openers as much anymore. It's kind of weird.
Even as an opener, though, I mean, even if you're throwing one inning, you still don't ask relievers to throw 3 days in a row very often. Unless it's the playoffs.
Or an off day.
Or off day, sure.
You can have an off day mixed in there. We'll get to the Dylan Brooks stuff in a minute, but, you know, the listeners tell us what we do. But the Hive hierarchy, callers, way up here. Texters are next on the tier. Like, how far do they separate? Probably not that much. They're probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Callers, texters, pretty close. Then you drop a little bit, and then you have your YouTubers, probably on the same level as the people on Twitter. And then, rock bottom, you have the Twitchers.
So I'd go with a tier
in between. Fat guy in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
I would go, the initial top tier would be callers and texters, because it's immediate.
Uh-huh.
Then I would go Twitter.
Okay. Oh,
and
you have Twitter.
And then I would go to the social media interactions.
You have YouTube below Twitter?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. And you have YouTube and Twitch on the same tier?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you know there's only room for one rock bottom.
Is Christian Walker's slow start due to the injury at spring training? I don't know. Now, an oblique is not something to, like, scoff at. And somebody just posted a video of his swing, and he does look like he has got some slow movement with that core. Looks like Tiger Woods before he was activating his glutes.
That's not helping the Jose Abreu comparisons.
No, at all.
Remember when Abreu his had to take like slow. 10 days off to rest, and then he came back and actually hit well the rest of the year?
Yes.
And he carried into the playoffs, and then obviously we know what happened the next year.
Yeah, what was he doing on that little...
I don't know.
It's like the LeBron sabbatical where he goes away overseas.
Went to Germany, found some new medicine.
Uh-huh. Ocho, I'm still stuck on Lance saying Ray Allen was just a shooter in his comparison with Curry. Prime Ray Allen was much more than a shooter. What is he talking about? Prime Ray Allen could get his own shot off and didn't need a pick. And then, by the way, Prime Ray Allen would dunk on you, too.
Yeah, go back and look at Ray Allen highlights with Seattle
Sonics
and Milwaukee.
Or the Bucks, yeah.
Yeah, he was dunking over multiple guys. He had plenty of hops when he came out of UConn.
What's your favorite Ray Allen highlight?
The Miami game.
When he hit the game tire?
One or three.
The step back, yep.
Yeah.
My favorite is whenever he was, which movie was he in?
He Got Game.
Yeah.
He Got Game, yeah. That was my favorite Ray Allen highlight. I thought that was some of his best work.
They're doing a remake.
Hey, really?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be it?
He's playing himself as an older guy, and his son is going to be the main character. I forget who's playing.
Really?
And Denzel's supposed to be back. I think Denzel will be back, at least in part.
You still talk to Ray?
Not as much.
What's he up to? Where's he living?
He's coaching his son's high school team and living in, I believe, in Miami.
Man, if I made as much money as Ray Allen, I would not be coaching.
He loves the game. And he wants to make sure his son, he coaches his sons. He has multiple sons that play ball.
Well, that's good for him. I wouldn't do it. No chance. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to Draymond Dillon a little bit. Kelly Eco covers the Rockets for The Athletic. He'll join us next to break down the Golden State-Houston series, which begins on Sunday. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
you can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their Essential Prenatal Multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.